Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Weekly Ingest podcast. My name is Nancy Pants and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like I'm just always thanking y'all, like for real. Thank you. No, just playing. Thank you for listening. If you really fuck with my podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to it on. I really would appreciate that. It helps me grow my show and, you know, and grow my audience. So I appreciate that. And also make sure that you follow me on Instagram at Eat Like Nancy Pants with 3 S's. Because that's also pretty cool too. I post pretty cool food on there. So again, thank you so much for tuning in and we'll get right into the episode. Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of the Weekly Ingest. I'm so thankful that you've made it here, made it so far. I'm your host, Nancy Pants, and I just want to say thanks. You know, thanks for so much support last week on episode 5. And thank you to all the people that entered the giveaway. Be sure to stay tuned because I will be announcing that sometime during this show, probably in between the topics like I always do. But so yeah, I want to thank you guys for that. But I also want to have a disclaimer that today I'm recording during the day. Normally I record really late at night so it can be as quiet as possible. But today I'm recording during the day. So if you hear, you know, cars or if you hear the homies across the street, they have a seafood restaurant. I think it's a Mexican seafood restaurant and they be bumping, bro. Like they be partying. So if you hear that, just know that it's my part of town. They don't know how to be quiet. They don't give a damn. It's fine. We all celebrating or we all having fun, having our culture. We doing our thing. So it's okay with me. I just wanted to give that disclaimer just in case, but I'm fine with it. And so, like I said, today we will be discussing a topic that's near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking about struggle meal culture and food insecurity. And as a person who has experienced food insecurity as a child, it still plays a major role in my life today. Similar to other traumas that we experience growing up, this very real insecurity can be triggered by environmental circumstances and factors. So just before we get into, you know, my story and things like that, I just want to clarify with you guys, like, so what is food insecurity, right? You're like, what is food insecurity? It doesn't have to do with an eating disorder. I got a couple people that thought it had to do with that. No. That's body insecurity, maybe body image. I'm not exactly sure. But food insecurity, according to Oxford, is defined as the state of being without reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable and nutritious food. So growing up for me, we struggled. You know, my mom didn't work a job that could pay enough until I was probably in my teenage years. So financial security just did not exist for a majority of my life. The worst of it was when I was in elementary, probably from like preschool age to about fourth grade. That's what I remember. I just remember it being the worst at that time. I remember being around 3 and I was hungry. I remember being hungry all the time and having to eat noodles. But I do remember that by the time I got to about 7 or 8 years old, I was making my own food. So I was making pancakes and French fries from scratch. So like actual like potatoes, we washing, we peeling, we cutting at 7 and 8. And so, that created like a survival mind state for me at home. But I did love going to my grandmother's house because I could eat as much as I wanted there. You know, it was always clean. We always had clean clothes and we always, you know, it was ice cream at granny house, soda, you know, whatever we needed. My grandmother was a cook. She cooked amazing food. So there was always something to eat, whether it was just like a snack food or if you wanted actual food, just go in the kitchen, warm it up. And so that was something that I didn't experience at home. And so I loved being in my grandmother's house because I felt like I could just relax kind of and just be a kid. You know, it was cable and shit, turn on Nickelodeon. You feel me? Like it was great. And so, I'm telling these perspectives as a kid. So from my thoughts and my narrative. So if you're my older sibling and you're listening to this and you're like, girl, that is not what happened. I just want to disclaim that this is just my perspective. This is just the way that I saw my life and how I grew up. And kids have warped perspectives at times. And so just bear with me, you know, but that's not what, this is just more about how it transformed me as an adult. And so now I realize, you know, in my life as an adult, that having simple things like clean clothes or a refrigerator full of food or the ability to just go to the store and buy the most simplest items when I need them is a real sign of wealth to me. Not by society standards, but by my own standards. I realized my food insecurity traumas when I was probably like 24. Like, I knew that growing up poor sucked, but it wasn't until I was 24 that I realized it was something that I needed to get, that I needed to delve deeper into. I needed to talk to myself and get to know this part of me that was just genuinely afraid of going without. And so I had lost my job unexpectedly, random or whatever. Ain't gonna get into that anyway. But I was so worried about going without that I couldn't concentrate on anything but getting my security back. Like, I turned into a different person. Like, I couldn't even talk to my friends. If they talked about their little meager problems in their life, I was like, dude, I don't have X, Y, and Z, bro. Like, I'm a, you know, like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't even have the money for the rent, like, the roof over my head, I'm gonna be homeless, you know? So it made it kind of like, it made me realize like, okay, sis, you need to step back and realize like, what is this coming out of you? And why are you so fucking scared right now? And so I felt like a child all over again. Honestly, I just thought of not being able to provide my, just the thought of not being able to provide for myself just scared me. And it made me feel like a little kid, you know? And as a kid, you don't know what you need. You know what I'm saying? So you obviously don't know how to provide for yourself. But when you become an adult, you become more aware of what you need. And you understand that it's you. This is legit shit you need, you know? And so it scared me and it made me think a lot. And so I ended up going back to school full time because I was like, fuck that. I need a security blanket. And that is what actually encouraged me to go to school in general, to go to college, because it was a way for me in my mind to get out of poverty, to be able to afford a life that gives me the opportunity to do regular things like have food in my refrigerator all month, or be able to pay my rent and not have to worry about being evicted, or being able to make sure that I have money to go to the laundromat when I need to wash my clothes, let alone have a washer and dryer in my house. That's still a sign of wealth I have yet to attain, but we ain't gonna get into that. So over time, I have learned about that. And so during this process, during the process of writing this episode, I started doing a bit of research to find out how food insecurity affects us today. And I say us as in Americans. You know, we're all Americans, whether it affects you directly at your house or it could affect, you know, other people in another state, but we're all in the same country. So I just wanted to do a little research and find out if the pandemic has increased these chances of food insecurity, how it has increased the chances of food insecurity, or if, you know, the government finally stepping in and realizing how people are going without, maybe that's made a difference. I don't know. So apparently it has. According to Feeding America, they are a organization that they do research on, you know, food insecurities and our dietary needs and things like that. And so according to Feeding America, it estimates that 45 million people, or 1 in 7 adults, this also includes 15 million children, which was 1 in 5, may have experienced food insecurity in 2020. However, it projects, now an estimation was of the past, they projecting that in America, 42 million, which is more like 1 in 8, including 13 million children, which is 1 in 6, may experience food insecurity in 2021. Now, I don't exactly know how these measurements are calculated, if they're done to certain demographics, if they're doing every demographic, if they're done by state, I'm not exactly sure because it didn't specify. But I just wanted you to think about that, like 1 in 6 or 1 in 5, that's a lot of kids. You know, so if you have 100 kids in 2020, 100 kids, 20 of them are going to go without the right amount of food and nutrition that they need. That's a lot of kids, you know, like, just because those kids are going to grow up and become adults, i.e. me. And so I found it very interesting during this research that the states that have the highest rates of poverty, i.e. a lot of red states, Mississippi, Arkansas, Mississippi is number one, okay? Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, a lot of those red states are the same states that oppose a lot of social change, positive social change, such as wage increases. I know you guys have been hearing a lot about, you know, certain states not wanting to pay people the right amount of money so they can live, so they can go back to work. You know, they don't want to do wage increases, free health care, free higher education, daycare, you know what I'm saying? Full child care so that people can go to work and provide for their families properly. It's so ironic that it's these people in these states that are suffering, and the representatives of these states are not making choices to help them, or they don't want to, or something like that. I'm not a political person, but it just seems a little ironic to me. But I digress. I don't want to get into it. But the one place that I was able to make sure that I ate at least once a day was at school. And these children in these impoverished neighborhoods and states, they probably had the same thing. They would go to school. At least they got free lunch. My mother didn't make a lot of money, so my lunch was free. Sometimes kids had to pay like 40 cents or something like that, which I think is not right. Like, if your parents, I feel like all kids should eat for free at school. I'm confused. Like, if you think I should pay for it, take it out of my taxes, bro. You know, I think all kids should eat for free at school. Now, if you want extra snacks and things outside of the cafeteria, then that's up to your parents. But as far as the regular cafeteria food, all children from preschool to 12th grade should eat for free. There should be no reason why they have to pay even 40 cents, because that simply just, that distracts a child. You know, say if their parent was in that weird space where they made too much money, but they didn't bring home enough money. Now this student may be distracted and having to worry about the 40 or 50 cents or a dollar or whatever the extra they have to pay. But like I said, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. That was just an example of what kids are experiencing and what I think could be a, you know, solution. Just for kids, though. You know, breakfast and lunch, you go to school. If you're there, you get it for free. Simple. But I had kind of totally forgot about it, to be honest with you, because I wasn't in grade school for so fucking long until the pandemic hit and I started receiving notifications from my nephew's school about students who were missing breakfast and missing lunch due to the pandemic because they weren't in school. They started being able to come pick up sack lunches or sack breakfasts. That is a weird word. Anyway, they started being able to come pick them up. And the pandemic affected us all in so many ways. So it's only right that it affects our children as well. You know, a lot of families did rely on school lunches to feed their children during the day. And so due to the pandemic, children being out of school, and they started eating a lot. Even my nephew, like, this boy ate me out of house and home. I was like, bro, when did you, whoa. Cause I know he don't eat at school. So when did you fucking start eating like this? You know, but imagine those families who didn't only have one teenager like me, you know, those families who have 4 and 5 children, probably all in grade school, and they're all home all day eating. So, of course, the government came up with an idea to actually extend food stamps to all the students, right? This is the exact idea that if you can give us food stamps for our kids that are home, no student should have to pay for lunch at school then. But they did. And so they sent out pandemic food stamp assistance cards twice. And so my nephew got them or whatever. And it was about $360 two times. So over however many months in between, they supposed to make $360 stretch or whatever. And so I thought that was a great initiative. I'm not going to lie. I'm not judging the initiative or anything. But I was very appreciative because I only had one. So my nephew getting that, it was great because he was starting to eat my entire bank account and I just couldn't afford it. But now that he's kind of gotten used to it and we kind of like stretched out the pandemic EBT, bro, we stretched it out. I was like, bro, you're not going to go to the store and spend all this money. We're going to stretch it out, blah, blah, blah. It really worked out. And so, but after it ran out, of course I had to start spending money again. And I couldn't let us be without food anytime at all. Simply because it made me feel guilty Like, I literally, when it's no food in the house because I just haven't gone to the grocery store, I feel guilt. I start to feel guilt because I'm like, damn, I'm not doing my part as an adult or as the adult in the house to make sure that he has something to eat. And so even though I don't like pushing baskets at the grocery store, I will go to the grocery store 25 times with a little hand basket before I push a buggy. But I started doing it. I started having to grocery shop in bulk more because my nephew is here. And so that kind of gave me an idea into how, like, I don't know, like, I guess it gave me an idea into how it really translated in my life and how it continues to translate today. You know, children that grow up in poverty tend to have a different childhood experience. Circumstances often push them to learn to live off of survival as opposed to living off of love, leaving them uneducated in regards to actual nutrition and healthy lifestyles. Because they're just like, dude, if I have something to eat, I don't give a damn, you know? And so these children, they then become adults. And if their situation does not change, neither will their eating habits, leading to our community being plagued by sickness and disease that we most often can't receive proper health care for. But like I said, that's a topic for another day. And so also when kids grow up off of survival, they tend to handle other people differently, you know, and they tend to just, they go through life different. And most times children that grow up in poverty, you hear, oh, you're so mature for your age. Well, that's not a compliment. They actually had to grow up fast because they had to realize their existence and what it actually meant a lot faster than other kids who may have the luxury to stay child, to not stay childish, but to protect their innocence for a lot longer. And so, you know, as I said before, my life circumstances have changed and I've been super blessed enough to have access to fresh produce and financial resources that allow me to eat nearly anything I want whenever I want. But I try my best to stay grounded by remembering my past so I can appreciate my present for the blessing that it really is. And so right after this short break, you know, I'm going to announce the winner, of course, but I'm also going to get into some of the foods that are created during the struggle that we have, you know, as people growing up in poverty. And so, but also I got a new recipe for y'all. So just give me 1 minute and I'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. Thank you so much for staying during that short 9 second break or however long that little instrumental is. But before I get into the second part of the show, I just wanted to announce the winner of the pink pineapple contest or giveaway. Excuse me, not a contest, a giveaway. I think your name is at last. It's at underscore underscore last. So I think that's how you say your name. Make sure that you... Well, I'll be hitting you up. So make sure you check your DMs or whatever. And, you know, so we can get the information over to the pink pineapple people and they can send you this beauty right to your door. Congratulations to you. And thank you guys so much for all the people that entered. I really, really appreciate it. I just didn't expect so many people to enter. 15 people was, that's, I don't know, to me, I guess I got small sights, but I probably expected like 5. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much again for your support. And thank you for streaming the show. Thank you guys for getting me to 100 freaking streams. Like, what the fuck? No, I'm just like, but no, seriously, like, I never even thought that people would listen to my voice or listen to me talk so many times. And on average, I get about 20 streams an episode. So thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. I cannot express how much I appreciate that. All the support, the follows, the everything, the shout outs, man, the shout outs, everything. Thank you guys so, so, so much. I really appreciate it. So, but just to continue with the show, congratulations to At Last. Like I said, be checking your DMs, mom. I'm going to send you some information so that you can get me your information. And we can get you that beautiful pineapple baby girl. Anyway, so on to the second portion of the episode. Intro to struggle meal culture, right? What is a struggle meal? Oh man. Like, I don't think anybody understands what struggle meals are unless you poor, for real. Like, unless you are, and poor maybe is not a politically correct word anymore. I don't think so. But impoverished, broke, without, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to call it. I don't really know about people who know what struggle meals are unless you absolutely have to know. You really typically don't. So a lot of us, though, have grown up, especially as Black people, African-Americans, a lot of us have grown up to change our circumstances. You know, it's a lot of us that have been blessed to be middle class Black Americans, but a lot of us have grown up to change our circumstances for ourselves, and some can't. You know, some people cannot, and it's not that they are lazy or they, you know, want to be a victim or nothing like that. I just think that information is key, and sometimes these people don't have access to that information. Like, yeah, you as a person may have an iPhone who can just go on Google, but you think somebody who's barely making $1,000 a month has money for an iPhone or to be going on Google? You know what I'm saying? They might not even have computers. They might not even have real reliable internet access. I know that a lot of parts of the country where not just Black people are poor, this, you know, whether they're white kids or whether they're Latino kids, they're poor, and a lot of them don't have access to just Wi-Fi to be able to research how to change their situations, you know? And especially growing up as a kid in poverty, you can't even focus at school sometimes because you're worried about, you know, your family or your next meal. And some people don't even stay in school because they have to start working early. And yes, that still happens to some people. It doesn't happen every single day, or it's not broadcast anymore due to all the other distractions that we have. But yes, there are people out there who don't even get to finish school because they have to worry about keeping a roof over their heads. And so this portion of the show is really dedicated to those people who may be struggling to make ends meet. I really wanted to develop a series of budget-friendly meals that are simple enough to make modifications to accommodate any dietary restrictions or needs. I do have a couple other recipes I'll be releasing, but that's going to be a topic for another day. But over time, I'm going to share each recipe and talk about it. It's a couple pasta dishes. It's a couple full course meals and things like that, that, you know, are geared towards helping people provide whole budget-friendly meals to their families. And so at least I try. I'm trying. You know what I'm saying? I may not be 100% because I'm not exactly aware of all the dietary needs and all the different types of restrictions that may be in place, but you know yourself better than I do. So please just make your accommodations according to what you need and what your family needs. But I don't know if anybody remembers the struggle meal trend, okay, that was happening on Twitter a few years ago, because struggle meals were being popularized or whatever. People were sharing their ideas and sharing what they considered to be a struggle meal. And I went back and reviewed some of these meals, and some of them are just like the idea is unbearable, okay? Like it was called Struggle Meal Loaded Fries, okay? French fries with American cheese, fried bologna, and ranch. Wow. The number one staple of a struggle meal is some processed meat, okay? If you got processed meat in your struggle meal or bread, sliced bread, bruh, that's the staple right there. That just lets you know that shit might be looking kind of bleak. I don't really know for other people, but typically if you're eating processed meats, cold hot dogs and shit like that, you know, it's even people who eat hot dogs that got bred by the gourmet kind, you know what I mean? I don't know. But another one that I saw was various things like everybody's putting stuff on bread. Like I said, somebody made an ice sandwich. They just put ice on bread. Like, what? Are you serious? That's hilarious. A little bit, but sad. Beef jerky on bread with ketchup and mustard, like a hot dog, out of line. Even like ramen in some ways, you know, cup of noodles, they always in struggle meals. As soon as you type in struggle meals on Google, bro, you see in ramen. Like, and I mean instant ramen, not the kind from the authentic restaurants. No. I'm talking about the instant, the Maruchan or the little cup of noodle. Yeah. So processed foods are very affordable though. You know, all these high processed foods, they're really affordable and they can be put in anything. which is really not good because it's a lot of sodium, you know? So like I said, these meals sometimes can lead to other health concerns later down the line. But for this meal that I decided to create, I decided to forego the processed foods and create a meal that's easy to prepare with identifiable ingredients that are actually fresh. So intro to my chili cheese mac. Well, it's chili cheese pasta. You can use any kind of pasta you want. And so the reason why I chose chili cheese, I don't know. I like chili cheese stuff, but I feel like chili cheese items are like, I don't know, it just sounds better. You know, like, chili cheese fries, you know what I'm saying? Like, or as opposed to just fries. I don't know. But I don't know the inspiration behind why I chose chili. I just was in the store looking at things and it just stuck out to me. First, I saw the chili seasoning packet, and it just went on from there. It kind of gave me Hamburger Helper vibes, but I did follow some requirements while I was in the store. So it had to cost below $20. It only had to have 5 to 7 ingredients. It can be made in one pot, and it needed to feed at least 4 people. So that is how I came to pasta, because pasta is something that you can stretch to feed, you know, X amount of people. It's very filling. And then I just decided to roll with chili cheese because it just didn't sound right to make regular plain pasta. No, you know what I'm saying? If you struggle milling, you at least want to jazz it up a bit. And so the recipe, it was very fun. It was really easy and really quick to make. So really what it calls for is ground meat of choice, or you can use soy protein. You need macaroni pasta, cheese, chili seasoning, a can of seasoned tomatoes if you want. It's optional, but I like to put seasoned tomatoes in it. Your choice of milk and a bit of water. Top it with cheese if you're into that thing, sort of thing. I love cheese, so hey, I just put cheese on every fucking thing. But yeah, and then you definitely need the milk, but you're gonna cook it, so the milk won't be the same, because I know a lot of adults are lactose intolerant. You know, I just haven't grown up yet, so I still eat milk. I still can take milk products and dairy products. So, but a lot of people are like, oh no, no dairy for me, please. So I just do. And so I still do. But so these are optional for you, but I definitely would suggest a milk of some sort. So yeah, I just used about 8 ounces of macaroni, 1 pound of meat, 2 cups of milk, 2/3 a cup of water, and about 4 ounces of cheese. The directions for this recipe and more details are in the caption of the last reel that I posted. I posted a reel showing how I made this and showing how it came out and everything, and I got a lot of love on it. So like I said, if you want to try this recipe, just be sure to let me know if you like it, or if you have your own struggle meal ideas, you know, comment below on this, because I'm going to post the soundbite. So comment below on the soundbite and let me know what your personal struggle meal was or is when when the coin is not matching the appetite, you feel me? And so, so since this is a pasta recipe, you can easily pair with fresh vegetables or a salad. And so when I was in college, the 99 cent store kind of opened up its palate, if you will, to serve, you know, to be able to have access, I guess, to fresh produce. A lot of people can't necessarily afford to always go to the store and buy produce. It doesn't last that long in your refrigerator. So having the 99 cent store, having produce that you can go buy the day of, maybe, you know, it's cheaper. That's a great way to get fresh produce at, you know, at the drop of a dime, literally, if you will. Anyway, I'm dumb. So my only suggestion that if you do get your produce from the 99 cent store, I would recommend eating it the same day. Not because, you know, I think it's something wrong with it or anything, but that's probably one of the only ways that we can really guarantee the freshest of the fresh, because people getting it at the 99 cent store obviously got it from somewhere else first. Yeah. But if your life, you know, permits it, like I said, get your produce from the 99 cent store. It's very cost effective. It's the same produce. It just came from somewhere else. So I recommend that. Typically it's cheaper or whatever, but some people like to use frozen vegetables. if you want to make steamed frozen vegetables, because it's cheap too, or because it's more cost effective for you, because it lasts longer. If you can only go shopping once a month, because a lot of people only can go shopping once a month, that's fine. That's totally an option. But I will recommend pairing some type of fresh vegetable or a salad, since it's a pasta dish, with it. So then you can have a full, a full meal, a whole meal, if you will. So this recipe is awesome to me because it can leave leftovers. Like, it left a lot of leftovers. Me and my nephew didn't even eat it all. Like, it left so many. I was like, damn, like, I thought it could feed four people. Jeff didn't eat any because he be acting bougie. So he didn't eat any. But I assume that, like, a grown man and, like, you know, especially dudes, a grown man and a grown woman and a couple kids could definitely enjoy this meal and save a lot of money and just feed themselves, you know, for however long. But I like the fact that it had leftovers because as a kid, I was home alone a lot. And so for a kid to be able to go into the refrigerator and eat a meal that was already prepared, you know, heated up in the microwave, is better than them having to eat snack food after school or something, you know, because they don't know how to cook. So I like the idea of having leftovers because, like I said, kids can heat them up if they need to, if they're home alone, like latchkey kids and things like that. I don't know if y'all know what a latchkey kid is, but the kids that go home and be alone until their parents get off work because they don't have proper childcare, them kids. So this is a really good resource. I feel like this meal it's very versatile in how it can help people. And that's what I like the most about it. I really hope that this recipe inspires other people to get creative with their coins and start creating more affordable, easy meals, or at least try to encourage creating more affordable, easy, healthier meals to encourage wellness in our community, because we know we need it. I see a lot of cooking videos and stuff on TikTok and on Reels of girls, you know, cooking, but they cooking shit that people can't always afford. Shrimp and salmon and steak. You know what I'm saying? Like, people can't afford that all the time. Like, I don't know, you know, about them, but seeing those things, like all the stuff that they make, whole chickens and stuffed chicken breast and stuff this and garlic spinach charred artichoke cream cheese that, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the food that we see online and people make on a daily is very luxurious food when you think about the reality that some people have to live. So that was one of the reasons why I chose something like ground meat. It's a universal food that some, you know, everybody can typically afford. 1 pound of ground meat is only about $4. So, you know, as opposed to going to the store and having to buy a bag of shrimp if you're trying to make something from the things you see online. I feel like those are like luxuries that we all are not afforded. So I'm hoping that this, like I said, I'm hoping that this recipe inspires other people to get creative and to share, you know, their experiences with their, you know, with their friends and family, or with me, or whom, or with their online communities, to say, you know, I grew up like this, or, you know, my life has changed like that. Or maybe it can even give some of us a time to reflect on how blessed we've been our whole lives. If you've never had to worry about where your next meal was going to come from, or if you've never had to worry about being able to afford to feed your kids, like, you always just have, you just have it, you know, you really are blessed. And sometimes we can lose sight of that, especially during a pandemic or panoramic or all these different Panasonic. I mean, y'all calling it everything. But sometimes loss can help us. I mean, loss can result in us not being able to see what we really have, if that makes sense. You know, like, when you lose something, you forget the things that you do have and the blessings that you have. So I know a lot of people have lost family members, jobs, just stability in general. And so I hopefully this message or this episode and this meal can help people to realize that they have some sort of stability, if they have some sort of stability, and really appreciate it. You know, appreciate it during this time, and to understand that sometimes your perspective is not the only perspective that's happening. Just because it doesn't happen to you does not mean that it does not happen. It happens every single day, and there are kids and families and moms and dads, everybody that they, you know, every type of person rather that may have this perspective, they don't have the luxury to go out and change it. And so this, like I said, so this episode was really dedicated. Oh, I'm getting emotional. To those people who may not be able to just change their situation or may not have the resources to change their situation. I want you to know that there's somebody out there that sees you and I hear you, even though I don't literally hear you, but you exist. And the whole world has not forgot about you. Okay. At least not me. And so I hope, like I said, that this recipe and this message and just everything about this episode gets out to people who may really need to hear it. And know that people care about you, you know, even though the world can be a really selfish place sometimes, there are people like me who actually care and want your communities to thrive regardless of your circumstance. So that pretty much wraps up episode 6. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you guys so much for the streams, for the follows, for the shout outs, for everything. Honestly, if you haven't, make sure you follow me on Instagram at Eat Like Nancy Pants with 3 S's and tag me if you decide to recreate this recipe or showcase any other struggle meals that you know of, because I feel like it's going to be funny to see what everyone can come up with. Struggle meals are not funny per se, but it's just going to be funny to see what everyone can come up with and see how creative everyone can get. So until next time, friends, I love you all. I wish everyone have a good day, have a good life. Love, peace, and hair grease. Bye.